Okay, let's take up 238. Mr. Scott is here, I think.
Approve funding for 7 Innovation Fund proposals.
Yes. Yeah. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Sliding around.
We have our committee members here to make this report. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor, Health, and Commissioners. My name is, for the record, my name is Casey Chama. I'm the Executive Director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. I want to, before, introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm Tom Simpson. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for Standard Insurance.
So we're here to give you a little bit more information and update for the innovation project. So before I do that, I want to first thank Commissioner Amanda Fritz for submitting my name to this committee, and I appreciate Mayor Hells for your appointment. I want to also thank the staff members, Andrew, Scott, Ryan, and Jeremy, who provided us their time and their support as we go through this process. I want to also thank the Portland State University team, who extremely were helpful for us to make this project work. Their expertise was tremendously helpful to us. And also I want to thank the other task force members who are not here with us today, Larry, Beverly, and Pamela, and Tom, who is to my left, who all of us worked together on this project. In terms of the project, I think what I'm going to turn a little bit quickly on Tom to talk about a little bit about the process. But again, we really were honored to be able to help the City of Portland to be more innovative and in how we deliver our services, and hopefully to set up a stage of even greater innovation to years to come. So
let me talk through the process that we used. Between December and January, we reviewed 23 proposals that were submitted by 10 different bureaus. We met on 4 different occasions, spent a lot of time reviewing proposals in between meetings. And then what we did was we interviewed each bureau to learn, first learn more about the proposal. What is it that's in front of us? We all had questions as we were reviewing them. And then we really wanted to try to understand the innovative properties of each proposal. The decisions at that point were not easy. We're confident, and you should be confident, that every proposal that was submitted received a very careful and comprehensive review by the task force.
So after we did our proposals and we finalized recommendations to the city, to the mayor's office, and the task force recommended 7 proposals for total of amount of $921,000. One proposal from the Portland Police Bureau and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement was retracted by the Bureau after further discussions with the city. In terms of the portfolio recommendation proposals, we have these criteria, characteristics. Benefiting Portland residents to improve public services and products, balancing the risk versus reward innovation, piloting new ideas, collaborating with private partners and neighborhood jurisdictions, and finding efficiency and reducing costs. We also, the task force also looked into the equity lens as we processed and evaluated the proposals.
So the concluding remarks around this whole effort was that nearly every proposal, which was good news, I think you can be proud of your bureaus in this regard, they either reduced city costs or delivered better services. So that's great. I mean, that's good news that the employees of the city are looking at what they're doing with that lens, reducing the cost, trying to make it more efficient for the taxpayer, as well as delivering better services for the taxpayer. That's great. But, however, very few of the proposals were truly innovative in nature. They're interesting, and they're probably good ideas, but they're not necessarily innovative. We were surprised as a task force that some of these proposals weren't just done by the bureaus. These are some of these things should just have been done. They had the capacity and the resources, and they should do it. So the city should work to instill a culture of innovation within the organization so that in the future, truly innovative ideas can be brought forward. So I think that's work for the city in the future. And as was mentioned, very few of the proposals address the city's equity goals. So I think what we need to do is encourage the bureaus to figure out how innovative proposals can do this, and find approaches of problem solving that could impact equity in the city. So another way to look at this is that many of the proposals, or most of the proposals, were about bureau problem solving, solving problems that the bureaus face. Great. And many of them touched equity, or some of them touched equity. If you flip that on its head, is there weren't any proposals that addressed equity first and then also solved bureau problems. How that's done, who by whom, I don't know, but I'm just saying that's a different lens to look at it with. So that was one of the challenges we had. So again, thank you for the opportunity. It was actually quite fun. And to provide these recommendations.
Well, before we get to questions, just want to thank you and the other members of this task force. They brought a lot of experience and this clear-eyed perspective about how innovative is this and are they still meritorious, and then not just evaluating these proposals, but where should we go next if we're going to continue, and I do hope we do, to both have a formal process of encouraging innovation and funding those projects. So I think this small task force in a short time did us a real service of going through these proposals in a thoughtful way, and I just wanted to say thank you to you and to your colleagues for being willing to take that on. Other questions or comments?
Thank you for your service and for that eloquent discussion of equity first rather than equity as a tag on afterwards. I appreciate that. And I'm looking at this expenditure of nearly $1 million and thinking, do we actually want to do these? Do these advance our other our broader goals for the city in a budget year that coming up where we're not going to have very much money at all? So I'm looking at each one of the projects, and in particular the one on the Transportation Management Partnership in South Waterfront. That wasn't a committee recommendation, is that correct?
Correct.
And why was that not forwarded by the committee?
Great. When we ranked all the proposals, we used a set of criteria, and I'd have to dig it out, about which proposals ranked higher than others. This one really just didn't hit the lens of again, innovation and equity, as well as there was a whole variety. I think Portland State provided us with a fairly large list that we all went down. And this one just didn't rise to that level. So it dropped off fairly early in our process.
Did you have one?
No, I didn't think anything else. I think the important thing was that we really used it, some of the criteria that Portland State University provided us. And at the end, we had 25-plus proposals that we received, and we had to end up cutting some proposals. Mm-hmm. And it was a fairly lively discussion on those processes, and we ended up have to reduce the amount of proposals that we move forward. So I think that's generally what it was, more than anything else.
Yeah, I think the only comment I'd add, because we did add this one in after the task force work, is that we didn't really have a criterion for being citizen-driven, but this one was. And so that, to me, counts for something, but it's a fair point.
I wasn't aware that we asked citizens for their...
We didn't, but this was one where we had a neighborhood organization working with a bureau You know, I liked that.
The other question I have is about the fire and rescue cardiac arrest alert thingy. Why is that on the list?
Pulse Point was there.
For those actually watching at home, thingy means an alert that if you've signed up for this Pulse Port thing and there's a cardiac arrest that goes into the Bureau of to the 911 center, you would get a ping on your phone telling you where the nearest defibrillator is, and you would theoretically run and get it and go to aid the person before the fire bureau could show up. Is that correct?
That's
why
correct.
Is this a priority item for us to spend $100,000 on?
There was a couple of reasons. One of the reasons we looked at it primarily was it's in partnership. It would be in partnership with Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue. They have already rolled it out, and most citizens don't know where the boundary is between where they are and where the next jurisdiction is. Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue obviously is a big jurisdiction. By expanding this to Portland Fire and Rescue, as well as I believe it was going to go to Gresham as well. They were going to offer it to Gresham as well. That encompasses a huge portion of the metropolitan area, and it seemed as though, based on the numbers we were already seeing on the Tualatin Valley Fire, that this would expand the capacity as well as, and frankly, from an innovative standpoint, it actually does kind of trigger some innovation. It's looking differently at how do you encourage citizens to take part in saving lives if they have the training to do that. So it was a combination of partnership as well as a bit of innovation. What else am I missing?
Yeah, Commissioner Fritz, I think this also proposal was one of the proposals that we had a lively discussion and debate about whether we move forward. And there were several areas of concern at the beginning that emerged. Number one was the effectiveness of this proposal. Mm-hmm. And then the second piece that emerged was that there is an ongoing cost associated this proposal. So those were some of the discussions that we had. But then we looked at about the totality of the project. And I think for me, as someone who came from, you know, working on the issues of social justice and perspective of creating an equity process, one of the importance that we realize that we have to balance between building human capital and building infrastructure capital. I think those were some of the discussions that we had. And because of this proposal has particularly engaging health-related issues and building infrastructure for human capital for the city of Portland and city of Portland residents, that was the thing that we really, at the end of, for me at least personally, that appealed to me, and I think that was very much the discussions that we had.
Thank you. That's helpful. But there's an ongoing cost to this?
That one, I think there is.
Yes, I believe there is. I may have to rely on the budget shot for that one.
So, Mayor, I'm somewhat hampered in reviewing these because we only got the summaries. We don't have a lot of detail about the projects.
I'm Ryan Kinsel with the City of Portland Budget Office. The ongoing cost for the Pulse Point is the annual license fee, and it's about $10,000. When we met with Chief Jansen, she said that that was something that they thought they could absorb in the budget.
Mm-hmm. And what's the $108 for then?
That's the interface between the CAD system and Pulse Point, and then just sort of basic programming. And there's also CPR classes and marketing associated with it as well.
And where, what are the statistics from Tualatin Valley as to how many people are using it? How many cardiac arrests do we have in Portland?
I can't say specifically, but when we did speak with Chief Jansen, she said there's been about three or four really successful interventions to it. It's been a fairly small rollout for them. But for those three or four people, it's obviously been a pretty meaningful intervention for them.
Do we have any understanding of how many defibrillators we have around the city or where they are?
I can't speak to that. I'd probably feel more comfortable having either the chief or Andrew Carlstrom, who's the current person on the project lead, for it answer those questions, I think.
I'd like to know.
Okay.
Thanks.
I can follow up with you on that.
Well, can I follow up on something? In your testimony, you said something that got my attention. You said that you were surprised that a number of these things weren't already being done by the bureaus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you said that you didn't find a lot of innovation.
Mm-hmm.
So in our RFP processes and other bureaus, if evaluators think that a request is non-responsive or doesn't warrant funding, they can come back and say no. So was one of your options to say that none of these should be, or was one of your options to say that there weren't actually applications that met the criteria and therefore you recommend no funding at this point?
That would be why you only see the ones you see. When we first took a look at it, we went through and said, gee, many of these are not, most of these are not what we would call innovative. And we spent some time going through what does it mean to be innovative, and it's a difficult definition. And Portland State did help us out in that regard. I was looking for my notes. I couldn't find them. I'm sorry. But we did peel off quite a number of them right off the bat. By saying, you know, these just don't quite meet the mark. Now, one of the challenges we had was the information that went out in the fall to the bureaus, that's the original instructions, and the lens of strict innovation were different criteria. And so what they were originally asked to do and what we were looking at were a bit different, And so we didn't want to hold that. We want to hold them accountable for perhaps a rough startup to a new program. What we wanted to do is say, we'll give them a little bit of benefit of the doubt. And yet, when I said some of them should just be done anyway, there's just some basic cost reduction proposals in this that I think a lot of organizations would just do. And they were asking for it to be done through this program. Did I miss anything?
Commissioner Fish, I think we had this discussion quite, and the mayor's office and the folks give us a leeway, absolutely, to say if we felt that none of the projects were not innovative, we could have totally said, no, we're not going to, you know, put forward none of them. Having said that, I think the way, at least personally, I foreseen this and analyze is that one is that it's a normal thing that when you have this kind of a process, when you're starting something, a project like this, that you probably need to do some house cleaning. So a lot of the proposals that we have seen, folks were just the projects that either they're supposed to be doing, as we said, or they just didn't have the time or the energy to do. We recognize that. But what we ultimately decided to do is that let maybe move those proposals that we think that closest met the criteria that we've been putting forward, and then hopefully have some sort of a discussion, ultimately propose to the mayor's office and the staff to discuss about how do we, as a city of Portland, how do we define innovation? And really have that discussion, and then maybe hopefully this is kind of a building infrastructure for the future proposals from the bureaus, and really give them a clear guideline is what we mean when we say innovation. And I think in order to be a city that needs to be innovative, we really have to, our bureaus has to be very innovative.
Yeah, I appreciate that qualification, but it's still, I guess I'm puzzled about one other thing here then, because it's $900,000 worth of ask. So did you feel it was your charge to come up with close to $1 million of programs that fit, or had you decided, or could you have concluded that they didn't come close enough to innovation, so you're only recommending $200,000 worth of ask?
Yeah, certainly. We kind of laughed because when we first went through the filter to see which ones ranked to our criteria or not, it came close to $1 million. And so we laughed because we didn't start with, let's go hit $1 million. Not at all. We went and said, what is the list? And when we started going down the list, it was like, oh, look at that. The top ones are close. Then we went through and did another. We talked about it at quite some length to see, are these right, really the right projects? And then we juggled them again. Something.
No, I think that's how we started. I don't think so. We came to the point that our starting our discussion that we want to spend $1 million. I think the question we started was that, are these projects are innovative? That's the discussion that we had. And as I said earlier, that although we felt it, most of them fell maybe short in terms of the innovation side of it, I think at least we wanted to entertain the idea of that this project, some of them maybe need to move forward just so we can encourage the innovation in the future. And so knowing that that's how we end up, but ultimately we end up close to $1 million that we had, but I don't think so we were ever wanted to spend $1 million. The idea was that what projects do you think we meet close to this innovation? So,
yeah, I mean, one way to describe this package from my discussions with you and seeing this is that, you know, maybe on a scale of same old, and innovation, there's a place in between which might be called government working smarter, and that these proposals or the finalists here at least achieved that level, and that's progress. It's maybe not the ideal that we want in the program, assuming the council wants to continue it, but you know, things like this utility coordination, most people would want us to be doing that kind of coordination between our utilities and private utilities. It might come in handy for Google Fiber, but you know, that might not be all that innovative because there have been coordination schemes put together in other governments and even here, but it's certainly government working smarter.
Also, I mean, isn't it true that there's hardly any real innovation in the world? Didn't Bill Gates and Steve Jobs steal most of their ideas from Xerox?
They won't admit it.
I think Apple started, I believe, is still the Xerox company first when they started the first computer, IBM, I mean. So I think, I guess my conclusion, commissioners and the mayor, is that I hope that each one of you will go back to your bureaus and hopefully maybe have some discussions about what proposal is today submitted, and I have discussions about how do we streamline innovation and effectiveness in our city. I really do believe that's what we need to do if we want to be a successful city.
Well, thank you both. This has been a very helpful discussion, and I'm prepared to vote for your recommendations just because obviously you've gone through all the questions that Commissioner Fish and I just asked. So I very much appreciate that. I am, however, concerned about the transportation management grant. That's something that we've done in other neighborhoods. I'm very troubled that possibly the most affluent neighborhood in the city, because they were connected, got to put their request in and others didn't. That just doesn't seem...
I think it was because of the unique nature of the project that it was in, not just because there were one of 95 neighborhoods, but we can bring staff up and describe it better if you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions for Casey or Tom? Thank you both. Thanks very much.
And thank you, Commissioner.
Maybe do we need Andrew and Ryan to come up and talk about that one in particular? Because, again, we added it in my office at the last minute, so if we don't want to do it, that's okay. But
hi, Andrew Scott, City Budget Office. I may, and we also have Christine Leone and Ryan Kinsella. We may be able to answer some questions, although we may need to defer if you have detailed questions about the transportation management proposal. My understanding, though, is that it will begin work on creating a variable-priced on-street parking system within South Waterfront, and it's a partnership that's going to allow the development of that program and the data collection effort that could sort of lead to efficiencies, innovation, and parking in similar parking, systems throughout the city, if appropriate. Commissioner, I don't know if you have additional detail or staff does.
Yeah, also I'd like to add is we did submit a proposal for it, and during the interviews we did go through a number of questions on it. So we felt it was worthwhile to submit. Why it wasn't selected, I don't know.
I do think that, exploring whether we should adopt the kind of innovative dynamic pricing systems that San Francisco has for something is something that we should be looking at. And as the mayor said, it was something that his office added, but it struck me as going in a direction that I'd like to go in.
Why South Waterfront rather than Sullivan's Gulch rather than other neighborhoods?
Because they're not going to be pricing their parking. South Waterfront is a neighborhood where we are pricing parking, right?
Yeah, I'm out of my league here in terms of transportation policy. My understanding is with the opening of one of the new buildings down there as well. I mean, there's it's going to be a very high demand parking area of the city, and so that's why this is applicable in that area versus maybe some of the others.
The number of constraints that we have down there as far as transportation and access and parking and multimodal and the amount of development, it was ripe for a very focused study down there. Not to say that other areas aren't, but again, in trying to, I think, meet some of the criteria that we had available and the energy around this is why we submitted it. So.
But again, it's $35,000, which out of a million doesn't seem like that much, but $35,000 gets a start on a blinking crosswalk in East Portland, right?
That's true, it's possible that if we expand dynamic pricing, it'll give us a tool to raise more money for the entire system, which will buy additional blinking lights.
That's generally not how transportation management associations have been set up. They've given benefits to the area that sets them up. Provide transit passes for employees, for example, or other such things. There hasn't been much general revenue going to the general transportation.
So let me make a suggestion. We're having a good substantive debate that we ought to have before we approve this. My suggestion is we pull this one out and act on the rest, and we can return to it. The fund is still there. It's still on the table. It's been reviewed by the panel, but not fully reviewed by us. My recommendation would be, because this was added at the last minute in my office rather than one that was vetted by, that was reviewed but not put forward by the task force, that let's pull this one out. We can get these questions answered and return to it in a subsequent resolution on that item, if that would be
Mayor
helpful.
Hales? I'm going to support that idea in part because I was prepared to vote on the package as a whole because it's a recommendation. Mm-hmm. I think we could go through each one and have a debate. But since that was not part of the original package from the committee, I think that's a cleaner way of doing it. And I would just urge that as a friendly amendment, and we could go up or down on the balance of the package.
So I'll take that as a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so let's roll call on taking that one out and keeping the rest of the package on the table.
Fritz?
Thank you, Mayor Hales. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Thank you. And we'll bring that back to council offices for more discussion. Okay, now do we have anyone signed up on this resolution?
Oh, we have one person, Mr. Lightning.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I'd like to talk a little bit on this innovation fund. Is that I think what we need really in this city, we talk about people with mental illness and talk about trying to help the chronic homeless, but we don't really offer any type of outreach service from City Hall itself. And what I'd like to see, I understand there's some additional funds that maybe be directed into a certain type of a project. And what I'd like to see is basically, I'd like to see maybe you have a space down below. I know the Oregonian used to be in there, and it's been sitting vacant. And what I'd like to see is maybe actually have somebody either come in there every once in a while, once a week, possibly a cognitive behavioral therapist or a psychologist. And somebody similar to, and I say this in a respectful manner, like it, maybe even a Dr. Phil, somebody that people can go in there, talk, somebody that can go out and talk to people out on the streets, somebody that can actually begin to create an understanding and a respect and go over certain issues, because we're talking about Google, we're talking about the internet and various other things. I mean, we have come such a long way on offering these type of services to people to be able to view it on the internet, to be able to look at videos that have been put together, to be able to understand in if they have thoughts of suicide, alcoholism, drug addictions, homelessness, being depressed. What are they thinking? We need to have a trained professional that represents a lot of the community that can actually begin to let people understand that, hey, why don't we have a discussion and let's talk about this? Because we have no outreach. There is absolutely no outreach to where somebody walks out and says, hey, I'd like to talk to you today, and I know you're homeless. You may have drug addictions. I'd like to talk to you about that and just have a reasonable discussion, and maybe there's something we can do. And I think from an innovation standpoint, it's something we're lacking in this city. It's something that's necessary, and it's something that even the DOJ, I would think, would agree that is necessary. And basically, from an innovation fund standpoint, I'd love to see something like that funded, and to where people can actually just come in and have a reasonable discussion and say, hey, what do you think about this? And somebody very well trained to be able to counter back and say, you know, this is what I think, and maybe this will work out for you in a better way. Thank you.
Thanks. All right.
So Mayor, because of the comment of the prior testifier and because we have the benefit of having the housing director here, I think it might be helpful, because Lightning always comes up with interesting ideas, that we ask the distinguished director just to give us a follow-up email identifying programs the city and the county fund that do outreach, because there's substantial funding for outreach programs. But to the extent there could be better coordination or something that fits within the innovation pot, I think that information, we could then go to the next level. So if you could supply us with that first, Director Manning, and then we can engage Lightning about future options, that'd be great.
Okay, good suggestion. All right, so let's take a, roll call on the amended resolution.
Fritz?
And indeed, there is a Housing Bureau data sharing system funded in this, so that hopefully will be helpful in that regard. Thanks very much to the committee. This just shows that you appoint a varied group of folks from the community. I actually was reminded of our budget advisory committee and the input that we get when citizens dig in and ask those questions like, why isn't the Bureau already doing this? That can be very, very helpful. So I will take that charge to heart and go back and look at the Parks and Development Services asks that were not funded and see whether we could accommodate them within the existing budget. And I very much appreciate the time spent. Aye.
Fish.
Mayor Hales, this was one of your ideas in a tough budget cycle last year, and we carved out this money when we had to make tough choices. And I've been very supportive of the concept. This is an interesting discussion in terms of what is innovation. If I hear my colleague, Commissioner Novick, correctly, the public is hungry for innovation, but it's an illusory concept, so there's no wonder people are so frustrated with government. But I think it was a laudable goal. As you said, we'll discuss through our normal budget process whether this year, with the constraints we have, we'll continue to invest and at what level. But I think for purposes of our action today, the committee has made a case for these programs. And whether, in hindsight, there are things that should have been developed out of the existing budgets of the bureaus or processes, that's a good conversation to have, too. What is innovation and how much of it should be generated in the ordinary course? I actually do believe there are a number of items on this list which are purely innovative. And by innovative, I mean taking ideas that have been piloted somewhere else that have been demonstrated to save taxpayer resources and deliver services more efficiently and are proposing that we embrace them. Innovation doesn't normally happen as someone just coming down from on high with some new idea. It's how we take best practices and interesting concepts and apply them. And I particularly like the proposal that Commissioner Novick and Director Treat are bringing forward for utility coordination. How many times do we hear from people that they can't understand why public and private agencies dig up roads to do laudable things but lack the kind of coordination which would save both money? It doesn't happen pervasively, but it happens enough that it seems to me that's something that we should address. I do think that is a purely innovative idea, and it is something that, were it not for a new director with roots in another city where it's been tried, we may not be proposing it. So I'm very pleased to support that. I appreciate the discussion with the committee about how they got here. If we choose to continue it, we have a roadmap for some fine-tuning. If we don't, we have a one-year experiment, which hopefully will bear some fruit. Either way, Mayor, this was really your idea, and I applaud you for it, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
I want to add on to Commissioner Fish's remarks. I am, frankly, jumping up and down, turning cartwheels, excited about the Capital Construction Coordination Grant, because, as Commissioner Fish said, there are few things more frustrating to citizens than seeing the same street torn up by different entities in a short period of time. And Director Treat came to us and said, listen, in Chicago, we developed this process where the public and private utilities fed their project plans into the same system, and they had software which alerted them to potential conflicts and opportunities for coordination. And she said that the city saved millions of dollars, and I have no doubt that the private utilities did as well. Commissioner Fish and I actually already convened a meeting with a number of our private utilities, PGE, PacifiCorp, Northwest Natural, some of the telecoms, Comcast, CenturyLink, and Director Creek gave them an explanation and sort of a demonstration about how such a system might work. And, of course, they're cautious about it, but they seem very intrigued. And we followed up by, actually, Christine Leon followed up by sending them the names and contact information of their counterparts in other cities they could talk to about how this has worked. What the grant will fund specifically is an analysis of the tracking systems of the existing tracking systems of the public and private utilities and determine what the requirements will be for a coordination system and bridging software. So it's a first step, but it's a critical first step. And I think that this is just enormously important. I mean, we within the city do our best to coordinate projects, but sometimes even within the city, things fall through the cracks. But it's critically important also, and this will improve that, but it's also critically important to have the involvement of the private utilities. So I am very excited about this. And by the way, I just my remark previously about innovation and Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and Xerox, I just want to read the story I was referring to, which is apparently when Steve Jobs first heard about Windows, he thought that it was a ripoff from something that he created. And he called Bill Gates to a meeting, and apparently he had the power to summon Bill Gates. And Steve Jobs said, "You're ripping us off. I trusted you, and now you're stealing from us." And Gates said, "Well, Steve, I think there's more than one way of looking at it. I think it's more like we both had this rich neighbor named Xerox, and I broke into his house to steal the TV set and found out that you had already stolen it." So in this case, we have compatriot cities around the country like Chicago that have come up with this great idea, and I'm proud that we are poised to steal it.
Hales.
Well, I think this is an imperfect success, and it's really hard for government to innovate. I spent the last 10 years in a private corporation where if you had a good idea and you could put the numbers to it, you might get it funded, but then you were also taking personal risk about whether or not that would succeed. And in the public sector, we don't have all those signals, and maybe we shouldn't. But we do need to be able to tell our managers, we want you to try something new. We'll occasionally fund the best of those ideas, and then we'll track how it works. And I think this particular set of tools is worth keeping and worth continuing to use. You're right, there's not always enough resources for these kinds of things. I think it's one of these things where if we can continue at some level to send that signal that innovation is supported, and here's what it looks like, maybe a little better definition of what it looks like. Here's some more examples. I think we have some in this package that really rise closer to that ideal of true innovation and that will gain some momentum in this over time. So I think it's a worthy experiment, and I appreciate those the task force and our staff who worked to make this process work the first time around. I hope more to come. Thank you. Aye.